And I was reflecting on that this week and just thinking about our call as Christians. When we read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is something that, as I read that, I realize how big the task is for us as Christians, how big the ask is of us, that God asks us to come on board and to go and make disciples and to go out to all the world and tell people about his love for them and help bring his love and show his love and bring his glory to the world around us. And it's this amazing task that we get to be a part of, and I'm honored to do so. I'm just so thankful that he gives us a lot more than a trowel and a piece of wood to do it. That the task that we have from God is huge, but he gives us some amazing tools and able to do that task and able to help bring his glory and able for him to work through us, that he equips us to do the job in ways that bring honor and glory to him. And so what I want to talk about this week is spiritual gifts. And we're not going to dive into specifics on some of them. And I know spiritual gifts can seem like a really big topic to go through, but there's a really easy way to understand it. And as we go through broadly, if you have more questions, I'd be happy to talk about it later. But Pastor Paul here has a great way of just understanding the gifts. He has three categories that he breaks them off into. He breaks them into gifts of speaking, gifts of serving, and gifts of signs. And basically, all of the gifts that you can read through the scripture, and there are five major passages, including the one we're going to go through today, that kind of talk about the different spiritual gifts. All of them can be kind of broken down into those categories, whether it's teaching and evangelism and things like discernment, or some of the other ones that we would use by speaking in front of people, that we would use our knowledge and wisdom and just convey a message to people. Whether it's serving, using our hands or the privileges that we have to bless other people through things like mercy and giving and just acts of service towards people, or whether they're spiritual gifts of signs, spiritual gifts that are these great powers that show to God's great strength that he has through healing or miracles. Basically, when we're talking about spiritual gifts today, what we're talking about is the different tools that God has given us, whether they're qualities or skills or different attributes that we have that show God's love to other people, that bring his power, his glory through what we do and points towards him. And so we have this giant task as Christians that we've been brought into, that we've been saved for, but God helps us through it by giving us these spiritual gifts. And today we're going to dive into 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, just to see kind of how this works and how we can make sure that we are using these gifts of God that we have in appropriate ways. So if you would read with me, we'll start in verse 7. And the first thing that just strikes me about this as we read is that God has commanded us to work, that he has saved us so that we could spread his glory and help spread his love across the world. So in verse 7, Peter writes this: "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray." So right off the bat, what we notice here as we read this passage is that there's a sense of urgency in Peter, that he's starting off with this section of scripture because the end of all things is near. And we might not understand exactly what that means, but what I think is important for us to understand is basically what Peter is saying is that we are in the last stages of redemption. We are living on this side of the resurrection, that God is at work and his end goal is coming closer and closer every day. And because it is, we need to have a sense of urgency in the work that we're doing in spreading his love and taking care of his people as he redeems the world back to himself. And I don't know how often we sit back and think about that, but that was something that struck me this week as I read through this passage, is that we don't know when the end of all things is coming, and I don't think that's the point of the passage here, but what I do know is that every day the return of Christ is coming a little bit closer, a little bit nearer. And as each day passes by, that's less time for somebody to come and follow Jesus, that each day comes closer to the time where we get to celebrate with Jesus, But for those of us who have friends and family who don't know the Lord, each day that moves by is closer and closer to his judgment. And so what Peter is saying here is we need to have a sense of urgency, understanding that although we don't know when Christ is going to return, it is coming closer and closer every day, and we need to take advantage of the time we have now and spread God's love to those who need to hear it, show God's mercy to those who need to feel it, and take care of the people who God loves. We don't want to miss out, and we don't want anyone else to miss out. And so there needs to be a sense of urgency as each day brings closer the return of Christ. But I think there's more to the sense of urgency as well. And I remember a story that I heard last year about one of the guys who was working at the junior high camp we go to for snow camp, Word of Life. And there was a guy who was working there, and we called him Vanilla Ice because he looked like Vanilla Ice. So some of you guys who were there remember who I'm talking about. And he just had this powerful testimony that he shared with us about how God moved in his life, how at one point in his life, he was basically on the streets, he was addicted to all kinds of things, and his life was just falling apart around him, and God saved him. And part of what they do at Word of Life Camp is it's actually a school program that they run, and they do all this training, and part of their training is they go and they just evangelize to people out in the town closest to them. And I remember the guy running the camp, Josh, was telling me about Vanilla Ice. I don't even remember his real name. That's terrible. He was okay with it, I promise. And how he just had this heart of evangelism and how he was so powerful at just sharing God with people. And they asked him why. And he said, well, nobody shared the gospel with me until I was 30. And I feel like I just missed out on so much of who God is, because nobody bothered to share his love with me, and I don't want anyone else to miss out any time on God because he's so amazing. And he had this sense of urgency that came from not just we need to bring people to God, but I don't want anyone to miss a second with my Lord and Savior because he is that amazing and they need to know that. And so there's this sense of urgency that we need to have when we're sharing the gospel, when we're doing the works of God, that is, yes, the time is coming when he's going to return, and that's going to be amazing, but also, people are missing out right now. People could be spending time with God. They could be praying with their Savior. They could know that they're loved by God, but nobody's shared with them. Nobody's taken care of them, and we need to have a sense of urgency that God has called us to be his people who share his love with those around us, and we need to step forward and make sure that we're not robbing people that we love out of any time with God. And so Peter starts off this section of how we serve God with, we need to take this seriously. We need to act now. We need to start working right now. And he continues to write, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And this is important for us to kind of stop and just look at because it's kind of a confusing sentence that Peter gives us there. For those of us who have been in church for any length of time, we understand that the only one who is able to cover the cost of our sins is Jesus Christ. But here, Peter writes that we need to act with love for one another because love can cover a multitude of sins. So what exactly does that mean? Well, it's not talking about paying the penalty for our sins and giving us salvation. What I believe Peter is talking about here is that as we are to work, we're called to work together as a family, as a team, and we need to move together in unity. And the only way to do that is if we love each other. There's a quote by I don't think I have it here. If we go to the next slide, there it is. Wayne Grudem, where he says, forgive me for turning around, where love abounds in the fellowship of Christians, many small offenses and even some large ones are readily overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion, every action is liable to misunderstanding, and conflicts abound to Satan's perverse delight. Now, we're called to work for God, and we're called to work together. And what that means is we need to have a sense of love for each other where we're able to move past the little offenses and some big offenses that we commit against each other. And I think that means two things, that we need to have love for the people who have offended us. We need to be able to say, hey, we need to work together. We've been called to something bigger. And yes, you've hurt me. Yes, you've wronged me. But just as Christ has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you so that we can go and share his love more effectively together as a team. But I think it also means, as something that I've experienced many times, we also need to be willing to go out and seek that forgiveness for the wrongness that we've done to other people. That we need to own up to the ways that we've made mistakes and have the love for people to come and confess to them and say, I messed up. I need you to forgive me. And I need you to know that I understand that I've done wrong. And that's something in my life I've had to do probably more times than I care to amount and admit. And even just the past 4 weeks as we've been working at camp, at Cross Trainers, and you can imagine that it's hot and we spend too much time together and fuses get a little short. And so working with some of the annoying junior highs, there's times where I've had to apologize and say, listen, I was a little hard on you there. I'm sorry that I called you that. And we need to confess so that we can move forward together in unity. And so when Peter writes, love covers a multitude of sin, what he's not saying is that we can cover each other's sins and pay the penalty for them. What he's saying is, as we work together, as frustrating as we are to each other, as much as we annoy each other, when we come out of a place of God's love for one another, we can move past these obstacles and these burdens that are coming before us and forgive each other's sins towards each other and point each other to God and keep moving forward for the bigger picture. And so we need to remember that we're called to work for God, but we're also called to work together for God. And he goes on even more to say that we don't just work together, but we actually work for each other. Verses 9 and 10, he writes, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. This is important for us to understand, is that we work together because we need each other to push forward. That there are going to be times where some of us are going to be struggling, where we're going to need reminders, where we're going to need that love in order to push forward. And Peter is writing this to a church that is in the middle of persecution and suffering. And so he challenges them. The first thing you need to know is you need to be hospitable to one another. You need to welcome each other in when you need it. And is that something as Christians nowadays that we do? Is that something that we do well? Do we invite people into our homes and comfort them and support them when they need it? Do we invite people into our church and welcome the newcomers who are in our church, who are here because they need to learn about God's love, because they want to grow closer to God, or maybe because they need support in some things? And we need to understand that our homes and our churches are not something that are meant for our personal gain, but for us to support one another. And so Peter says, if you're going to work for God and you're going to work together, then you need to support each other and take care of each other as you move forward. And do it without grumbling, which I think is the catch there. There's a lot of people who are willing to say, yeah, I'll let you come in and I'll support you. But man, it's going to cost a lot for me to do that. And this really kind of sucks, and I'd rather not be doing it. But Peter says, if we understand God's love for us and what he's given for us, then we, when we love other people, are going to do it without grumbling. A couple of weeks ago, week 3, I believe, of camp, I got to fill in for Derek Visser for Wacky Water Wednesday, and I warned all my 310s, when you come to Wacky Water Wednesday, you are going to play the game and you're going to get wet. That is mandatory for me, because if I'm asking all of these kids to come and play the games, then you're going to do it too. You can imagine I wasn't the most popular person in the room at that time, and a couple people tried to get out of it, and I still made them do it. But there was one moment to me that was great, because there was one of the girl volunteers who was just sitting there in the circle, and we were playing drip, drip, drop with this giant sponge, and she got soaked, and she sat down afterwards, and she was just smiling, and I was like, why are you so happy right now? Like, this is kind of miserable. And she goes, it's for the kids. And I was like, that's great. I love that. That's the heart we need to have. That's what I think Peter is challenging us here, is as we come together and we support one another and we welcome each other into our homes and into our churches and we go and we share the love of God, we need to remember that it's for the people. It's for the people that he loved, the people that he created. that we're doing his work that he's equipped us to do to bring people to him, and he rejoices in everything we do, and we can celebrate in knowing that people are growing closer to God, and it's for them, and we do it gladly. The other thing that I think is important to note about this section is that what Peter writes is each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. He doesn't write, each of you use the gifts if you have received them. Each of you use the gifts that you have received. And I think that's important for us to remember, is each and every one of us in here who's following after Jesus, who has accepted his love and his mercy into our lives, has a gift that God has given us in order to share that love with other people. That we have certain skills, certain traits that God has created and given to us in order to share his gospel with the people around us. And so our job is to figure out what those gifts are and to start serving people with them. That's the command here that God gives us through Peter, is that we need to understand what our spiritual gift is that we definitely have and start using it to further his kingdom. And this can be tricky for us because there's people in this room who maybe don't know what their spiritual gift is. And there may be a temptation to sit back and wait to serve God until you know exactly what spiritual gift you've been given. But that is not going to help. That's not how it works. There are incredible resources that we have nowadays where you can take tests online or take tests on the computer or written tests, and they can help you figure out what your spiritual gift is, and those are incredible resources to have, but if you haven't done one, that doesn't mean you don't start serving yet. In fact, the best way to figure out what your spiritual gift is as you see needs arise in the church, you start serving and filling those needs, and then you'll start to see what gifts and comforts that you have, and you keep using those gifts. I will be honest with you, I haven't taken a spiritual gift test since about grade 11. What happened in my life is I got the opportunity to speak when I was in youth group, when I was in grade 12. It didn't go terrible, and so people kept building into my life and giving me opportunities. I've never been told I have the gift of teaching by any test. It's just something I did, something that I liked, and I kept doing because it was bringing glory to God. And I think as people in the church, we need to understand that we can just start serving and we'll start to realize what our gifts are through the work that we are doing. But if we just sit back and wait, we're not going to know, and we're going to miss so much time that Peter's talking about that we need to take advantage of. And so my challenge to you, my challenge from Peter, is that we just need to start serving. When we see needs, we start serving and we'll find our fit. And the other thing that I think is important, that as we start to figure out what our spiritual gifts are, we need to remember how this worked back when Peter was writing, which is the way that people's spiritual gifts were affirmed was through the church. And so as I'm working on figuring out my spiritual gifts and my ways that God has made me to share his glory with people around me, I also am watching the people around me who are serving, and my job is to go to them and say, hey, I think you have this gift. I think you have this gift of giving. I think you have this gift of hospitality. You seem to thrive in this moment, and you seem to just come alive when you're acting in these ways, and I would encourage you to chase after that gift that God has given you. And we need to affirm each other in what we see and how people are working. And understanding through this process is how we'll figure out our gifts and how we work together as a unit and share God's glory as a church, seeking after his kingdom. I was thinking about that this week, and one of the junior high girls, Willow, told me a story, and I know I've embarrassed her before, but she gave me permission this time. And she was just came up after one of the devos that we were doing for the junior high leaders, and she's like, guess what? I was like, what, Willow? And she goes, there's this game that I play, and I don't remember what it's called, but basically they go around and make stuff online, and people can go and visit each other and all these things. And she goes, I made a church. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And she goes, guess what? And I'm like, what, Willow? She goes, people come and visit that church. And I'm like, that's really cool, Willow. And she goes, guess what? And I was like, what, Willow? She talks a lot. It's okay. That's her gift. And she goes, people come and visit because I set up times and then I teach them a Bible study when they're online visiting my church. And she just types these lessons. She told me recently she did one on the life of Paul and how Paul was converted by God and did these works. And she just types them out and people come and they listen or read, whatever it is, and to a lesson that she has. And I said, Willow, has anyone ever told you that you should be teaching or have a gift? And she's like, no, I just like doing it. And I was like, wow, I wasn't even going to church at your age and you're already identifying a gift that you have and just using it and crafting it and learning. That we need to understand that we have these gifts, we have ways that we've been wired to serve God, and we need to figure out what they are so that we can thrive and work together as a team and affirm the gifts that we've seen in other people. And we need to understand that to do anything less is to rob God of what he's given us. That what Peter says here is we are stewards of what God has given us. We're stewards of the glory of God, of what God has given us, which means these gifts that we have are not gifts that we own or that we use for our own personal benefit, but here, when Peter's writing to a church that is being oppressed, he says, you have these gifts so you can support each other and move each other forward as you do the work that God has asked you to do. That God has entrusted us with these gifts, and he expects us to use them. Now, there's a couple things I want to make clear. Just because you know what your gift is or you have one gift does not excuse you from never doing any of the other gifts. We've all been called to give. Some of us might have a spiritual gift to give where we thrive on that and we would go above and beyond. We all have a calling, as we see here from Peter, to be hospitable to those around us, to support us. But some of us, that's our spiritual gift and we'll thrive in that setting. We all have the calling to be evangelists, to share the gospel with people. But for people like Vanilla Ice at that camp, that is his gift, where that's his element. And as he goes, he experiences God's love in ways that he never would doing anything else. And so he needs to focus on that gift, and we need to focus on the gifts we have, but we're also called to just serve in general. And I don't want to say that just because we find our gift doesn't mean we ignore everything else. When there's a need, we still rise to it and understand that God's called us. And this is important because I was listening to a round table on spiritual gifts this week, and David Platt said something that I think was really important. He said that sometimes God might actually give us a gift just for a moment. And so we need to understand that part of the reason why we serve, even if we don't know our gift, and part of the reason why we fill those needs, even if they might be outside of our gift, is we might for a moment have a gift that we wouldn't have if we didn't pray to God and understand that God is going to use us in that moment. Think about the gift of healing. That there might be a moment where God is going to work through you, if you allow him to bring a miraculous healing to somebody, but that's only going to happen if you're willing to put yourself out there and take it and say, I might not have ever shown this gift before, but I'm going to give it a shot right now because there seems to be a need, and I'm just going to trust that God is going to work in it. And so we need to understand that we do have gifts that are going to be in our life, and they might change over time, but they're consistent. But there is also the opportunity for God to do something amazing in the moment, and we need to allow for God to work through that. But I think that's what's important for us to understand here, is as God calls us to work, he calls us to work together, and then he calls us to use the gifts that we've to support one another. And then let's go on to verse 11 here, which I think is, this is hard with one hand. This is what I think is the crux of our passage here. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What Peter gets to here is these gifts that we've been given, they're telling me I moved my mic too much in the back. I'll try to be consistent. These gifts that we've been given are gifts that point to the biggest gift that we've been given. And as I thought through this week, what I was reminded of is I have children now, and we have birthday parties for those children that Fiona does a great job planning and executing, and I show up for. And at those birthday parties, there's a moment, and you've been to a child's birthday party before, I'm sure, where everyone gets together, and that kid opens gifts, helped by all the other kids normally, ripping open paper and all those things. And it's great because you get to see all of these amazing things that your child gets. But what I remember in those moments is all of those gifts are actually a celebration pointing towards the actual gift we're celebrating in that moment, which is the gift of that child that God has given to us. And just like those gifts are great and they're a great way to show our love for that child, we got to remember the reason we're there is that child that God has given us. And just in the same way as we have these different gifts that God's given to us, whether it's the gift of evangelism, the gift of mercy, the gift of service, those are great gifts that we have, but the only reason we have them, the only reason they're there is to point us to the fact that God has given us his son as the greatest gift we can ever ask for. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that's important for us to understand, is that we didn't earn our salvation. We didn't do anything in order for it to be ours. It's a gift that God gives us. That Jesus came and he gave up his comfort. He gave up his glory. He came here, died on a cross, and took the penalty of our sins and was resurrected. He took our death so that we could have his life. That our relationship with God is a gift that we've been given, and that these other gifts are a reminder of that, and we need to use them in order to point people to that gift, to help people understand that they need God's love, that they need the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus has taken their sins away if they would only confess it to him and ask him into their lives and follow him. That the reason that we have all of these gifts is so that God's name would be praised, not ours and not our church. And so that's what Peter calls us to here, to work together, to work for each other, and to work for God's glory, doing all of these things in order to point people towards him. And so as you leave, these are the things that I would pray that you would remember. The application, the bottom line this week is this. We need to be alert. We need to understand that there are people around us who need God's love, who need his help, and who need to know that they need Jesus in their life. And as each day goes by, that's a day that they're losing with their Savior, one day late that they could have had praying and being in relationship with him. And as we move towards the end of time, that we need to be alert and aware and take this seriously, that we have an urgent call to share God's love with people around us. And we need to serve. We need to start serving and find our spiritual gifts, have them affirmed in us by other people, and just start doing the work that God has put before us, that we proclaim his name and heal people and bring them comfort and love. And we need to remember that we do all of this to point towards God and his great love for us, that he gave his son, and we want other people to know that as well, because he is so amazing, and I don't want anyone to miss another minute without him. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that you invited us to be a part of this big work that you're doing, that you are redeeming the world, and you've chosen to invite us to be a part of it, God. And I thank you so much that you have equipped us with these gifts in order to do that, God. That I pray that as each of us leave here today, that we would just serve and find our gifts and find our ways that we connect with you, and that we just honor you with those gifts and use them to point people to your love, God. And I just thank you so much that although we didn't deserve it, that while we were still sinners, that you sent your son for us because you love us and you want relationship with us, God. And I pray that as we go, we would tell others about that gift as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.